Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. All of them stemming from Thursday's marathon session of the Select House Committee on Benghazi. Jim, first of all, welcome back after a whirlwind couple of days for you. Let's start with the good martini. A lot of what the media is saying today, particularly the mainstream media as well as Democrats, is that we didn't learn anything new. It was a big partisan exercise, and we wasted a lot of time. But that's not true. We learned a lot of things. We learned, for example, that Hillary Clinton did not follow the Accountability Review Board recommendations following the embassy attacks in East Africa about being personally involved in security decisions. She said none of those requests ever reached her desk. She admitted that Chris Stevens didn't even have her email address. She admitted she can't even remember a conversation with Stevens the whole time he was ambassador. But the big one was this, as explained by Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan.
You're looking at an email you sent to your family. Here's what you said. At 11 o'clock that night, approximately 1 hour after you told the American people it was a video, you say to your family, two officers were killed today in Benghazi by an al-Qaeda-like group. You tell the American people one thing, you tell your family an entirely different story. Also, on the night of the attack, you had a call with the president of Libya. Here's what you said to him. Ansar al-Sharia is claiming responsibility. It's interesting. Mr. Katala, one of the guys arrested and charged, actually belonged to that group. And finally, and most significantly, the next day, within 24 hours, you had a conversation with the Egyptian prime minister. You told him this. We know the attack in Libya had nothing to do with the film. It was a planned attack, not a protest. You knew the truth, but that's not what the American people got. And again, the American people want to know why. Why didn't you tell the American people exactly what you told the Egyptian prime minister?
Jim, you've got a picture of a smoking gun in the Morning Jolt today, and there's good reason for that.
Well, yeah, I marvel at this. I mean, the insistence that there was really nothing new yesterday is an indicator that you really can't pay much attention, right? That you're either incapable of listening, or that you are. I've already made your conclusion, and you're going to stick to that no matter what actually happens. Because to most of us, those two messages that Jordan referred to were new, were surprising, and were fairly a big deal. Now, Hillary tried to backtrack from that, saying, well, at that point, Ansar al-Sharia was claiming responsibility, and then they later withdrew their claim of responsibility. By the way, just out of curiosity, Greg, how often does that happen?
Not very often.
Oh, our mistake. Remember we said we killed those? It wasn't us. Totally wasn't us. That by itself is just kind of strange. And then the second thing is, so Ansar al-Sharia withdraws their claim of responsibility for the attack, and Hillary, if you believe her account, automatically concludes that, well, then it must have just been a protest where guys brought mortars and stuff like that. It didn't make any sense. As I lay out there in the jolt, remember, on the night of September 11th, as the attack was still going on, Hillary and the State Department office issued a statement attributing this to being a response to the video. And so, like, people say, well, where did this information come from? Where did this narrative come from? No, it came directly from the State Department as it was going on. Now, we all know nobody on the ground saw any protests. Nobody saw anything that indicated this was related to the video or anything like that. And this was pretty clearly a terrorist attack from the moment it started. And, so it goes about a good 10 days before she calls it a terror attack. And I think I want to say that the Secretary of Defense was the first person to start referring to it as a terrorist attack. But by that point, we're like a good week after the attack. So for 1 week within the administration and amongst the Clinton family, the conversation is very clear. This is a terrorist attack. For 1 week afterwards, in all public appearances, including when they're bringing back the coffins of those four Americans killed, Hillary Clinton is discussing it in the context of being a response to a video. She has lied about a terror attack. And I don't understand, Greg, how that can't be disqualifying. How you can be commander-in-chief if you're willing, you're basically good when there's a terrorist attack, your first instinct is to try to figure out how do we convince Americans this wasn't really a terror attack and was something completely unforeseeable.
Yeah, just amazing on a number of fronts. She kept referring to that there wasn't this sort of grilling after Beirut, and that's largely because nobody tried to hide what happened in Beirut, certainly not to the same extent. I believe it was actually 2 weeks that President Obama continued with the video, because it was, I think, a couple weeks after the attacks that he was at the UN and made the whole the future doesn't belong to those who slander the prophet line. And another curious line from yesterday, we don't have the audio, is when it was brought to her attention that Chris Stevens was essentially scrounging for supplies in Libya, and she just kind of laughed it off as him having an entrepreneurial spirit. So,
oh, that wacky Chris.
Anyway, on to the bad martini now. And several of the Republican members, I thought, did a very good job of bringing up evidence, like Jordan did. I thought Mike Pompeo did a good job, at least early on in his questioning. And Hillary Clinton, as you mentioned, particularly in response to Jim Jordan, kind of threw out a word salad and tried to explain away the fact that she was very clear with some people about what really happened and not with the American people. But the problem with Jordan a little bit, as well as some other members, was that they decided when they didn't get the answer they were hoping for from Hillary Clinton, they decided to say what they thought the real answer ought to be. And here's Jordan, first of all.
There was not conflicting information the day of the attack, because your press secretary said, if pressed, there's no connection between Cairo and Benghazi. It was clear. You're the ones who muddied it up, not the information.
Well, there's no connection.
Here's what I think's going on.
And then Jordan went on to explain how it was all political. They were less than 2 months away from an election. The theme of the Obama-Biden campaign was GM's alive and bin Laden's dead and Al-Qaeda's on the run. And they had to come up with an excuse for why it wasn't their fault that this happened. Later on, it was Hillary and Peter Roskam of Illinois, and this exchange happened.
Well, you just recited the Clinton Doctrine to us, and let me tell you what I think the Clinton Doctrine is. I think it's where an opportunity is seized to turn progress in Libya into a political win for Hillary Rodham Clinton. And at the precise moment when things look good, take a victory lap, like on all the Sunday shows, three times that year before Gaddafi was killed, and then turn your attention to other things. I yield back.
Well, Congressman, that is only a political statement, which you well understand, and I don't understand why that has anything to do with what we are supposed to be talking about today.
Jim, it's understandable they want to go there. Hillary Clinton is dodging and ducking and in some cases lying. And so you want the truth to get out there. But when you do it that way, it gives her a moment like that and she comes away looking better.
Yeah, it was interesting to see how much pessimism and skepticism there was heading into this hearing. I think it was Ala Pundit who said, someday Republicans will have a really effective confrontation at a high stakes congressional hearing, but it's not going to happen in my lifetime. And Ala Pundit, no one's ever seen him, but the word is he's not that old. Unfortunately, some of that skepticism and pessimism ended up being justified. I think, as we mentioned in the Good Martini, we did learn some new information here, but the temptation to grandstand, the temptation to start playing up these guys' idea of what a dramatic confrontational. I don't know whether they're trying to be Sam Waterston at the end of every Law and Order episode, you know, and that's why you killed her, you know, the histrionics or something. It wasn't terrible, but because the Democrats were going to latch onto that and try to make that the issue instead of what happened in Benghazi is the issue, there was a high bar there. I mean, you really couldn't play to the cameras any, and that's really asking a lot of modern congressmen. And you know, it wasn't, you know, uniformly terrible. There were a couple of moments where I think Gowdy nailed the tone that they were supposed to have, and unfortunately not everybody on that panel echoed his style and tone and kind of prosecutorial directness there.
Well, on to the crazy martini now. And while the Republicans perhaps went a little too far in some cases, but also dug out some very important facts in several cases, the Democrats essentially spent however many hours it was, 9, 11, whatever it ended up being, demonizing the existence of the committee and slamming the Republicans for still wanting to have answers into the deaths of four Americans. How dare they? This was perhaps the most shameless exchange. This was in the first round of questioning, courtesy of Adam Schiff of California.
I know the ambassador was someone you helped pick. I know the ambassador was a friend of yours. And I wonder if you would like to comment on what it's like to be the subject of an allegation that you deliberately interfered with security that cost the life of a friend.
Well, Congressman, it's a very personally painful accusation. It has been rejected and disproven by nonpartisan, dispassionate investigators. But nevertheless, having it continued to be bandied around is deeply distressing to me.
Jim, that was exactly the way it was every time the Democrats went down the row.
Let's be honest. Before September 11th, 2012, probably less than 1% of all Republicans could name Chris Stevens, right?
Right.
Most of us had never heard of him. Most of us never met him. Most of us don't feel any particular, you know, personal attachment to him. But he was an American ambassador doing his job, and he got killed by Islamist bastards. And we, you know, because of that, we want justice for him, right? Let's remember, one guy's been caught out of all the perpetrators. A couple hundred people involved. We've caught one guy, and it looks like the Obama administration's ready to say, okay, job done. We look at this account and we get angry on behalf of Stevens and the families of those other three men because we feel like our government failed them. And in particular, this administration failed them. That he was reporting directly and clearly that the security situation was deteriorating and nobody at Foggy Bottom was really listening. Nobody was responding the way that he needed a response. He, you know, for Hillary to make that kind of chuckling comment earlier about how entrepreneurial he was just indicates that today they didn't take it very seriously. That when it was going on, that you know, this is the northern coast of Libya, right? This is not equatorial Africa or Antarctica or some far-off corner. This is, you know, just south of NATO. And that night, we couldn't mobilize anybody. And we were looking at this thing, how could that possibly happen? And then the third part is, you know, that when this happened, the administration lied. All right, we look at all that and we're like, this is not the way government is supposed to operate. And really, every single one of those Democrats in the panel indicate nothing seriously wrong happened. There's nothing left unresolved. There's no more questions that they have. And it kind of echoes the Hillary server issue. Look, Greg, who was really hurt by Hillary Clinton having that private server?
Stevens.
Well, okay, there's that. You know. But I was going to say the national security, you know, risk is to the entire country,
sure.
But also to the Obama administration, right? You know, if everything the Secretary of State is doing, then Obama's diplomatic initiatives are going to have two strikes against him because Russian intelligence or Chinese intelligence or anybody else can get access to their confidential communications. And yet you don't see that many Democrats bothered by this. They're not angry about this. Obama was one of the people who was wronged by this, right? You think Obama wants to see his ambassadors getting killed, right? I mean, like, this is a situation where Obama should be really mad at Hillary, and he's not. Everybody should be really mad at Hillary, but they're not. And there's something just baffling about this. And I guess the only way I can explain it is that there is such an obsessive hive mind groupthink going on there, in which the number one objective is make sure the Republicans never score any points on anything, that it overrides all other considerations, including, hey, did we fail this guy who just wanted to do his duty, and what should we do about it? Very depressing state of affairs if that really is where we are as a country right now.
To be fair, Mark Kirk's not going to like this. There was one Democrat who actually asked some legitimate questions, nothing that was all that confrontational to Hillary, but actually following up on recommendations made by the Accountability Review Board about embassy security and so forth. And that was Tammy Duckworth of Illinois, who was running against Mark Kirk for his Senate seat. But the rest of the Democrats spent all day demonizing Trey Gowdy, demonizing Republicans' line of questioning and everything else. So, Jim, I've
just been hanging around with Tulsi Gabbard lately.
Yeah, I guess so. They should start their own national security caucus. They'd have plenty of room, plenty of elbow room in that one.
We'd welcome them. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Jim, good to have you back. Talk to you Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks very much for being with us today. Have a great weekend, everyone, and tune in again on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.